This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Jonah Siegel from The Athletic in here. Jerry's Percentages later in the hour. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment. And we got Game 2 of the World Series tonight. The NFL is kicking off, what is it, week 6 tomorrow night? It's moving quick.
I think
it's
7.
Yeah. Yeah, is 7, it? Isn't it?
Yeah. I'm lost. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's week 7.
All right. Well, there you go.
Fired up.
So, yeah, and we've got some Antonio Brown news as well, that his suspension comes to an end after week 8, and maybe Seattle's kicking tires on him. And you guys see this Ryan Fitzpatrick story and his response to basically losing his job? And he was speaking with the media earlier today, and he said he had no idea it was coming. Like, he was shocked that it was happening, and he said it was really heartbreaking, and it was tough to be in a Zoom call, I guess, with the head coach who demoted him and Tua, who was in there, who basically took his job. And I was surprised, based on, you know, the way he reacted to Tua going in over the weekend, to Tua getting snaps. Right, like he was pretty fired up to Tua getting snaps, and maybe that actually explains it, that he thought it was just a cool, hey, go in there and get yourself a snap or two, and then I'm back in there when we come back from the bye. Yeah. But I have no issues with him being honest. I have no issues at all with him being disappointed. He should be. You know, his team's 3-3. He's been playing well. His numbers are great. He's a grizzled vet who's been around for a long time that is really – he's at the end of his career. You know, like, I don't think it's over, but he's at the end of it. This year, maybe next year, maybe another couple tops. But I also don't believe that the Miami Dolphins owe him anything. At all. They didn't have to give him a heads up on their game plan. Why would you? Then what are you going to get out of him if you tell him that after 6 games, Tua is going in? You're going to probably get a suck in camp. You're going to get a guy who maybe isn't fully committed the first 5 or 6 games of the year. They don't have to tell him anything about their plans. It's pro sports.
They don't. But I also, I kind of envy his honesty too. You know, it was raw and passionate. He's like, hey, I wanted to play. It came from left field. Like, it hurts my heart because I think he's played well too. Like, it's not like he's been a dud. Like, that's tough. You play well and then somebody else is handed on a platter your job.
Yeah.
That's a difference.
Don't you sign there knowing that? Like, they draft this quarterback. They sign you basically as a bridge. Don't you go into the season thinking at some point you're going to get replaced? Isn't that how it goes?
Probably. I would think that has to be in the back of your mind. But every athlete, when they're playing well, doesn't want to come out. Like, that's the beauty of a lot of times playing well and playing in a sport that you're good at. All of a sudden, you know, you're on a roll, and they're going to, you know, a high draft pick is they're going to hand it to you.
Well, there's some teams that could use him, too. Like, if I was Dallas, I'd rather have Fitzpatrick than Dalton, wouldn't you?
I don't know about
close?
That.
Close? No?
Yeah, it's close. I mean, Andy Dalton had a good run in Cincinnati. You know, like, I know people kind of goof on him, and his numbers were not that flashy. I think he took them to the playoffs 6 times. Like,
he's a solid
Cincinnati
player.
Going to the playoffs is – there was a point where that was as shocking as Cleveland going to the playoffs. And Andy Dalton had a good run. Not flashy again, not all pro – not Hall of Fame, but good. Like, good quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick, because of the beard, because of the nickname.
The chest hair, all
of
that. Yeah,
the gear he wears after the game and all that. His rep has been inflated. Now, his numbers are very good. I'm looking at him right now. He's got a 70% completion rate. That is off the charts quality. Like, off the charts good. He's got 10 touchdowns. He's thrown 7 picks. But to your earlier question, Jonas, about maybe always knowing that this is going to be a possibility – he's been there for a couple of years, and he's 3-3, and he's got a 70% completion rate. I think he would have expected this if they were 1-5 and he was terrible, and he had thrown 15, interceptions. Then it's a different story. I'm sure what makes this so heartbreaking is, man, I've been here. Last year there was a mutiny on our hands here where guys were telling their agents while they were leaving the field, you got to get me out of here. Like, this place sucks.
That's right.
And I grinded for you, and I came back, and I'm working, and I'm putting up numbers, and we're 3-3, and we're finally starting to turn the corner. and I'm a big part of that, and now I'm out. You know, that would be heartbreaking. I think he's a realist. I think he knows it's to his team at some point. But 3-3, and he's playing well, and they're winning ball games, that would be crushing. Yeah. Would it be ownership related,
do you think? Like, do you think their reaction to fans seeing Tua go in, I don't know.
I doubt it.
No?
There could be.
You never know. I mean, it could happen. But you'd like to believe the coach has enough pull to tell the owner to take a lap.
I just think there's influence from everywhere. You know, it could be, to your point, Jonas, where it's like, hey, we want to sell jerseys. We need excitement around this team. I know wins and losses mean that, but, you know, there are stranger things that come from above coaches and managers where owners show up and some guy at the club has said, you got to put that guy in the power play. You got to put that. Like, you got to do these things. And we all know, and I always bring it back to hockey, there are some unpredictable owners out there. And, you know, Mark Cuban's an unpredictable owner. Jerry Jones is an unpredictable owner. So it wouldn't surprise me if there is maybe a narrative from behind the scenes going, hey, we'd like to get this guy in at some point. It's good for growing our brand.
Yeah, it might have been a part of the pitch before the year even started that
right.
We're going to get through 6 weeks, go into the bye, and then bring in Tua. And right. The owner's like, okay, well, let's do it now because we actually have fans in the stands. His jersey has been selling ever since draft night.
Right.
And, you know, that could be it, but we'll see.
He better be the real deal.
He better be able to play, that's for sure. Yeah. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, we're talking about this Ryan Fitzpatrick to a Tagovailoa story. Yeah, and Fitzpatrick was just blindsided by it. And I'm not surprised by that. I mean, my take on it is I love his passion. I love his honesty. I understand why he'd be heartbroken. He's playing really well. He's got a good team. They're 3-3. They're winning ball games. But I don't think it's incumbent on the team to tell him about their plans. Like I don't think they owed him some sort of a heads up in camp. Where would you stand on that?
Well, I mean, it would be nice. But...
yeah, nice, sure. But it's pro sports.
You know, but it's never going to happen. I'm sure, you know, like everybody, there's a real realistic honesty when you're in the locker room about your own team. Like, Fitzpatrick knows they drafted Tua because he's the quarterback of the future. Like, he's well aware of that. Nobody needs to tell him that. Whether he thinks he's the quarterback this year or for half the year or whatever is going to be on the management. But the guys know. Like, Noodles, like, you would know when a young hotshot goalie's around, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Like, well, Eric Fichaud. Like, right. I remember on the island, Eric Fichaud was, you know, the next coming of Christ. So, you know, we had to, like, you know
what nobody had to tell you.
Right.
Like, you just saw it, right, on the draft, and you went, oh. I remember, yeah. You know, drafting, like, our team, whatever team I was on, and they draft a center, and I'd be like, well, why didn't we draft a winger? Right? Like,
how dare you?
You know it's getting cramped around you,
yeah.
And it sucks. And the worst part is, look, I don't follow the NFL like I used to, but it appears as though there's a lot of teams with really terrible quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick has got a lot of swagger, and he's had a really good year. And now he's going to sit with a ball hat on. And you can be the best mentor that you want, and you can be the best guy that you want, but this is your career melting away. Like, week after week. Like, they're not starting Tua for 2 weeks, unless the guy goes 3 for 150. Right? Like, he's the guy now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there, you're like, what can you do? You can't do anything. And it's not, I think it's important, like, it's not like he's looking for sympathy. Somebody asked him a question, and he told you what he's thinking. And that's legit.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's a bit of a sales pitch in that as well with the trade deadline in about 2 weeks, under 2 weeks. Like, letting everyone else know, I still want to play, I'm passionate, I love it, I'm not just going to accept this. And
if you're Jerry Jones, do you want to keep watching what you watched on the weekend?
That's what we brought up. I mean, I think there might be some potential. It comes down to a price. I mean, you're not going to have to pay that much for Fitzpatrick. But, yeah, I mean, it does bring up an interesting dynamic in the room. You know, the idea – I get the impression like they love Fitzpatrick in Miami. Like the boys love him. The locker room loves him. Doesn't mean they don't love Tua. And they'll really love Tua if he steps in and plays unreal. Then they're really going to be the biggest fan, and this will be a no-brainer. But you said something there a moment ago that I find interesting, Ray, about, you know, the honest analysis within the room. And you were, you know, you expanded on that based on the depth chart and who might be coming. But does that also apply to how good you are, how bad you are, you know, regardless of what you say publicly? Because everyone's going to say we believe in the room. Meanwhile, the team hasn't won a game.
Of your own team?
Yeah, of your own team. Like your analysis of the team. You're like, we're not that good, you know, or
man,
whatever
like,
it is.
We would often, you know, I like to use my Atlanta experience because the worse you are, the more honest you are, I think. And so, like, we'd sit there, you know, on the bus after the game, having a cold one, going to the airport, and you'd go, man, we played our asses off tonight. Man, that was good. And we lost 5-3.
Yeah.
you know, like, we weren't winning. We're like, it can't. So, yeah, absolutely. And then there is gallows humor to it, too. And Noodles, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're on not a very good team. But there's a gallows humor that you're like, oh, my, do you see our power play tonight? We never touched the puck.
I know. Like, it is. I can only point to the expansion team that I played on in Minnesota. And you guys know Sean O'Donnell? Like, very funny
guy. Oh, I played
with
him in L.A. What a funny guy.
I call him Fred Flintstone. He looks exactly like Fred Flintstone. So we're playing in St. Louis, and I come from St. Louis, so I've got a lot of pride going back into that building. Like I've been on a President's Trophy-winning team there in St. Louis and laid some roots, and we go back in there one night, and we're being outshot like something ridiculous, like 40-17 after the second period. And I'm just like, I think we're down 4-1. I'm, like, doing everything I can, and it's just a rough night. And I snap after the second period, like, snap my stick and throw it across the room and whatever. And after the game, I'm I'm sitting with Fred on the plane, and he goes, I thought we were doing pretty good, only giving up 40 after two. And I was like, I was Denny Lemieux in the net. But he's like, St. Louis was so good, and we were an expansion team. And you just, there's that layer of honesty where you're like, we're not good. We're just hanging in there. But I think I was just so passionate and wanting to have a good showing, and I just got rinsed. And you know, and Fred's sitting there going, 40 in St. Louis after two? That's not too bad. Like, that's a good team.
We played pretty well.
There.
That's a highlight reel for us this year.
Here is another one of those honesty moments.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact date, but it was the 20-year anniversary of the United States winning the gold medal against the Russians. We were playing in Colorado, Atlanta. We've lost 18 or 19 in a row. Like, just think of that. And so all day long in the locker room, like on ESPN, they were playing, you know, all these retrospective looks back at the 20-year anniversary or whatever. Colorado's right in that Stanley Cup. You know, they just got Rob Blake and, you know, they had Sakic and Forsberg. Like, you know, we weren't even in the same league. Well, somehow we win in overtime that night. So there's like 3 minutes left in the game, and our bench, you know, we're up a goal or it's tied, and it's chaos on the bench. Nobody knows who's up. You know, guys are jumping on the ice, jumping off the ice. It's chaos. And Nat Domichelli, who is now the general manager in Lugano in the Swiss League, we had just gotten him in a trade, and he turns around and he's pushing the boards behind us, you know, like behind where the coaches stand.
Yeah.
And I go, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm hitting the panic button. And fell on the ice. I'm like, oh, because the whole bench was running around like our hair was on fire.
Finally had a win. Finally got one. Didn't know how to react. It had been that long.
I scored the overtime goal, and after the game, somebody, you know, they're doing an interview, and I said, yeah, you know, we've been watching this thing all day about the Americans, and I'm like, they're talking about the miracle on ice. Now that out there was the miracle on ice.
Yeah, that's a great, great reaction. That's a great way to endear yourself to the team. You're like, where am I right now, and why did I get traded here?
He was looking around, and it must have looked like, you know, like, what is everybody doing? Guys are going in the door, out the door. We never were in a game like this. Yeah. You know, but usually we play Colorado. I didn't even know if Patrick Waugh played for the team. We saw the backup goalie all the time.
Yeah. That Colorado team was so stacked. Another Minnesota Fred Flintstone story very quickly. I'm sitting on the bench beside him, and it's right around the...
I can't stop laughing that you called him Fred Flintstone.
Our Halloween party, he actually dressed up like Fred Flintstone with no mask. He just had the actual suit on. He looked exactly like him. But anyways, he's sitting beside me on the bench, and we're playing Colorado in Minnesota, and it's close to the trade deadline. And I think our payroll was at about $14 million. And he leans over and he said, would you look at the amount of money on the ice right now? And Colorado had Sakic, Forsberg, Rob Blake, Patrick Waugh, and I think Hey Duke, and there was one other. There was like literally...
maybe Adam Foote, right?
Ray Bourque might have been there.
It was $40 million on the ice on their power play. It was like Brad Bombardier and Ladislav Benesek on the ice, and we'd called up a guy from the minor. Like, he's like, I think there's 800 grand on the ice to 40 million. He goes, this isn't going to go well, Noodles. And they scored about 8 seconds into the power play. He's like, see, I told you. Like,
Everybody should play on an expansion team, Noodles. This is exactly why.
So funny.
It must just be a shock to the system when you go one way or the other. Like, if you're... Let's use the NFL. That's where we started. Let's say you played your whole career in New England. You're like, all I know is we win, and Belichick is the king, and everyone does the right thing, and no one screws around. And then all of a sudden, you're playing for the Browns, and you're like, what the hell is going? How is this the same league? Like, how are these the same standards, the same salary cap? They use the same equipment, the same size field. Like, it's not possible. Like, is it possible?
No, I don't want to turn this into a it's now my turn, Noodles. You got to have one coming back for this too.
No.
But a guy we both know is Andrew Brunette. Mm-hmm. He's the assistant coach in Minnesota. Funny, funny guy.
Yeah.
We're in Phoenix. We're down 2-0. We're always getting shut out. But Kurt Fraser keeps pulling the goalie because he doesn't want to get shut out, right? He's got a lot of pride. He wants, let's just break the shutout. So we got a face off in the offensive zone. And Kurt calls timeout, and he draws this play. You know, defenseman's going to go down the boards. He's going to pass it back to the winger who's dropped out. He's going to go to the other side. We have no chance of completing this play, right? Like, we don't have any chance. So I'm going into the faceoff circle, and Bruno goes, Eraser, come here. And so I go over. I think he's going to tell me something about the play. And he goes, chip it in the corner, and I'll fall on it. And that way nothing bad can happen. And so I lose the draw, clean as a whistle, zip, right back to the D. He goes D to D. The guy shoots it 200 feet into the empty net. We pick up another minus.
What a play call. That's outstanding. Yeah, and that's down 2-0. It's not even to win the game. It's for respect. Can we score a goal just so we can leave here with a little bit of respect?
The chances of us completing 3 passes in a row were like one of us getting to the moon. Yeah, like, it was just not. That was not going to happen. At least in Minnesota, Noodles, you guys were in everything. You checked the hell out of everybody, and you gave them, you and the goalies there gave them great, you backstopped it. And, with Jacques Lemaire, I mean, it wasn't too exciting.
No, we lost 3-1, 4-2 every night. Like, it was...
But you were in the games, Noodles.
Yeah,
We lost one night to Jersey. I think, I don't want to say it was our third or fourth. It was later than that. But we lost 9-0. And I remember saying to one of their guys at the face-off circle, are you guys getting tired of putting your arms up yet? Like, it was 9-0. Like, not even like we were from a different league.
Mercy.
Hooray.
Yes, no, but they wouldn't give us mercy, Hayes. They kept giving us more games.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, can I ask you guys, any of you can answer, and Ray, I'll ask you first, I guess. Why is there no, like, bad teams, speaking of bad teams, why is there nobody who goes at Tampa and says, you know what? Look at all these RFAs they've got. Three really good ones. They have no cap space. They can't get rid of guys. Why is no one taking advantage of that? Like, what is it still this reluctance to offer sheet? Like, I just can't wrap my head around that whole
thing.
Well,
I think a couple things, and I'm curious what you guys think here, is that one is you have to get the player, first of all, to agree to the offer sheet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he's got to think it's a good idea to sign somewhere else. Knowing that if the team matches, you might have upset the apple cart a little bit. Two is that the team making the offer, they have to have all of their own draft picks. Like, you can't go acquire a first rounder to put in the package.
Yep.
You've got to have your own. And so I think that probably takes a lot of teams out of the mix. And then the third is you get into a price point and maybe they're just not comfortable going there. But I hear you. These are really good players that are sitting there.
Like, Chernak is 23.
Yeah, I've had this conversation before with Owen and Hayes about Cirelli.
Yeah.
Like, that would have, if I was Ottawa, I would have offered him $6 million a year, which is rich for a guy that I don't know if Hayes, you don't think he's a one. I think he's close.
Yeah,
he's
I think he's a two.
Yeah. I think he's a two. So let's just say he's a two. So your second line centerman could make around $6 million a year. The compensation, I believe, is a first and a third, but at $6 million, I don't think Tampa could keep him.
No,
right? Like, that's so now. There's the unwritten rule of the old boys club behind the scenes, too, of, hey, you know what, like...
Especially in this era with COVID and the flat cap, I think it's even more exposed. I think it's even more how dare you when we're all dealing with trouble and the owners aren't happy.
Right.
I think it's even worse now than it ever would be, Noodles.
But that's the only one I could think of right off the top of my head where if I'm looking at... You know, the Ottawa Senators, and they want to get to the floor. They got some, want to spend a little bit of money. Well, here's a guy who just turned 23 years old and could potentially either be your one or two centerman for many years to come to build around, the guys that you just drafted. You just acquired a goaltender. Shabbat's there. Hopefully you're going to get Brady Tkachuk done. So they've got the framework of some pretty good players moving forward. There's where you could potentially, for lack of better words, steal a player from a team that's pressed up against the cap. That's the only one that I could think of off the top of my head that would make sense.
Just think, I think he was a third-round pick, too.
Yeah. Well, yep. He's a really nice player.
He's a good player. But it's not going to happen now, right? Like, no one's going to snap out of it 3 weeks into free agency or 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, does it?
No, it seems like everything's kind of worked out, and there's still UFAs out there. And we were talking about Ilya Mikheyev, and he got his deal done 2 years at $1.65 million, and
discount.
It's a discount, and he could have got more to play back in the KHL or whatever, but it's 2 years. He's still, I don't know what he's going to be at the NHL. I like the way he plays. I think he's got potential. I don't think he's ever going to be a star, but I think he could be a quality two-way player that they might want on the bottom six to kind of balance things out, and I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think he should be happy with this. He's played 39 games in the NHL.
Well, I think so. When I saw the two-year deal, I'm like, I think he's a legit player. Like, I know there's not much games to really go by, and I didn't know him before he came to Toronto, but he looked unlike, I don't want to, I guess this is unfair maybe to Pierre Engvall, but like when Engvall came in and everybody was gushing over him, and because this was on the backside of Mikheyev playing, I didn't see the same thing from Engvall that I saw from Mikheyev. Like, to me, Mikheyev looked, I don't know, he looked like there was some offense to his game. He looked like he got it. He looked like this North American thing was just fine to him. And I didn't see the same thing with Engvall. So when they have to go make this decision on Mikheyev off of his shortened season, I thought the number was just fine. And as far as this thing, he left money on the table, and I don't know.
Come on.
Come on. Like, yeah.
Get real. It's a good card to play. As I said earlier, Ray, I think every agent should do it. Like, why not sell it? Like, 99% of people won't buy it, but 1% might. And, hey, a bit of a hero mode in the market. It can't hurt.
Right. I mean, like, what did he leave? You know, like, come on. Anyway.
$1,000.
Anyway, it's a good
one. $1,000.
Left $600 on the table.
Yeah. Robin Hood.
Bryce terrible. Harper's agent said the same thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bryce Harper sign for $300 million?
Yeah.
But he left money on the table.
Yeah, yeah. Philly
at
should
that
be.
Point, what, do you think Mookie Betts left money on the table?
I think he did, didn't he?
We signed, I don't know, I don't even care, $360 million. How much money, how big's your table?
Didn't Trout get like 400?
Yeah, but Trout's better than him.
But is he like $40 million better?
Over 13 years? Yes, he is. They're both, it's ludicrous money. I mean, how are we having this debate?
Yeah.
You know, there's some.
Gee, he got shortchanged. He only got $360 million.
Yeah. Exactly. Before we let you go here, Mike on Twitter, he found your game sheets. And
okay.
What so it was February 22nd at Colorado. That was in the year 2000. So I guess February 22nd, 1980 was the Miracle on Ice. And you guys beat Colorado when you were with Atlanta, 4-3 in OT. You went on to lose 10 straight after that.
Okay, but don't forget, we had already lost 18 in a row before, like maybe a couple ties in there. This was not a fluke, our losing.
No, and including on March 10th against New Jersey, you lost 9-0.
Oh, that's wow. The day. Oh, yep. Who was in goal that? Oh, I guess he didn't say, but I wonder who was in goal that day.
Scott Fankhauser.
I mean for New Jersey. It could have been Brian Rafalski. What the hell was the difference going to be?
It wasn't Marty, I can guarantee you that. Marty was not playing that night. But there you go. And as Mike said,
it was one of the easiest ones he ever had.
Yep. That big win, it inspired you guys because you ran off a 10-game run that was close. There were some close games in there. You lost 5-4 at Edmonton, 3-2 at Ottawa, 3-2 at Montreal.
Yeah.
So there you
go. Okay, but so there again, so Nat Domichelli was hitting the panic button. Man, he should have saved it a few days. We could have used it again.
Yeah, you need to spread the wealth, though, with that panic. He needs to learn.
Anyway. The Thrashers. Always a history.
There always is. I love those stories. Those are the best. You and Noodles going back and forth.
I just got a message from Fred Flintstone going, are you chirping me, bud? ? So obviously somebody's reached out to him and said, Noodles is chirping Sean O'Donnell on his show. So good. I just said,
well,
I just
Noodles, since I don't want you to take the only heat from Fred, those guys out there, they started to surf. And they all learned to surf. And when I heard Odie was surfing, I sent him a note, and I'm like, what are you using for a board, a picnic table? So
he's such a big man.
What a guy, eh?
He's the best, He's such a good guy. Great, really good player, too. Won a couple cups, and, you know, like he ended up carving out almost a 20-year career.
That's not bad. No one's complaining about that. Well, will be back next week. He'll have some Carolina stories I'm sure he can add to the mix. Not like they were exactly the pillar of success.
No, I'm telling you, the really good teams, boring. You need teams like this for the good stuff.
It's the best. The best stuff. All right, buddy, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, boys, have a good one. See you.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October, MapleToyota.com. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll keep teeing up Game 2 of the World Series. And Jerry's Percentages next.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a f***ing
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry!
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From 2 people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. So Jerry was vacationing last week, and he joined us, but I have not heard from him this week. So I don't know what his story is. He might be big-timing us now.
Shut your yap, Hayes, you pigeon, because Jerry's here, and I made it just in time. I was showing Alex Petrangelo all of my favorite spots in Vegas. And you know exactly what that means. I'm not talking about gambling. Body rubs all around. And one more thing before we get started. If you clowns ever try to embarrass me like last week with that ridiculous Taddy Jerry's percentage, I'm done forever. You've been warned, like Philip Pritchard was in Chicago.
We're on notice. Jerry not happy with the attitude of us on this show.
Yeah, really.
And Tapman, I don't know why Tapman gets dragged into this silliness and immaturity, but he does. And okay, I guess that it's a big show this week now, Jonas. You better not ruin this. We've been talking to Jerry for a long time. So,
yep.
I think we got something wrong last week. He didn't finish one of his questions, right?
That's exactly what it was. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, but that's what it was. We jammed up Jerry with the Tapman Tom Brady thing, and then it just cut out. And he's not happy about that. So I guess we're all on notice, including Mullen and the grappler and everyone involved. You guys ready for the hot takes?
Ready to rock.
Do it.
Ilya Mikheyev, who I'm sure superfan Jonas thinks will be better than Ovechkin somehow, will average at least half a point per game for the next two seasons. That little pigeon Jonas is something else.
Jerry's not happy with you,
Jerry,
Jonas.
Taking shots from far. Yeah.
Calling you a super fan, that's very uncalled for.
Yeah, seriously.
So Mikheyev, a half a point per game over 2 years. So basically 41 points, 41 points over an 82-game season times two.
I'm 46%. I'm close to 50. If he plays higher in the lineup, he'll get it. But if he third line minutes, then it might be tough.
The tough thing for him is he's not going to play on the power play, so everything is going to have to
be 5-on-5.
I think that's why I'm low on this too. I think he's going to be lower in the lineup, like third line. You know, he'll get some time. He'll move up and down, but he is not playing on the power play. And I'm not sure he's on the second power play with Thornton.
No, he's not.
Spezza.
No.
Simmons has been a power play guy throughout his career.
I think it's like 40%, maybe 45.
What did I say? I said 48. Like, I'm below 50, but I think there's a chance if he plays with good players, he might be playing with Thornton on the third line or Spezza or somebody like that, a 5-on-5, and get some points.
Yeah. I could see 15 goals a year and close to 40 points. Like, you know, that's kind of what
15,
I think he is
yeah.
as a player. But I'll go a little bit lower than you guys just because I'm not comfortable going above that because I don't think he's going to do that. I'll say 39%, you know, just underneath. It's not out of the realm of possibility. That's actually a pretty good take from Jerry. Like, that's around, a reasonable expectation. If he puts up 40 points, back-to-back years, the Leafs should be happy at 1.6, right? Because he's got some size. He can skate. I think he's a pretty good defensive player.
Yeah.
He's going to kill some penalties. Like, that'd be a good contract for 40 points.
Well, I've been thinking of him, like, if he can become close to Zach Hyman, that's about best case Zach Hyman, isn't it? 20 goals, 40 points.
He doesn't have that level of doggedness,
jam.
I don't think.
He doesn't have that jam. Like, Mikheyev isn't a guy that, I don't know if he's a puck retrieval guy. I think he can get there. Is he going to win all those physical battles? Like, I look at Hyman.
Best forechecker in the league.
Yeah, you throw Hyman into... You know, the corner, I would say Mark Stone is better, but Jerry's calling you a super fan. So
I know. What's up with that?
I know, but
I guess he can't read, or he doesn't read what I write.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, Hyman is one of the best. You're right. But I don't see Mikheyev as a guy who's a puck retrieval guy and like Hyman is, where he goes and gets it every time.
Not at that level, for sure. No way. All right, Jerry, what else do you have?
With Tua behind center, Jerry's jumping on the Dolphins bandwagon. Because they make the playoffs and they might just do damage. Kind of like Jerry at a karaoke bar on singles night. Oh, can Jerry sing a tune?
Jerry at karaoke night, singles night. I've never heard of that before. I didn't know that that was even an option. But I guess Jerry is into that kind of stuff. And he's on the Dolphins bandwagon. They're 3-3. They're only a game behind the Bills right now. Do they make the playoffs with Tua, like Jerry is suggesting? How do we feel about that?
I'm below. I'm 41%. Like, I think Tua will have a big impact. I don't know. I trust Fitzpatrick. I don't know what Tua is going to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty low on this, too. I just because I think the AFC is so good with Pittsburgh and Tennessee and Kansas City and Baltimore and Indianapolis is getting going. If Phillip Rivers just avoids turnovers, I think they're going to win 9 or 10 games. Cleveland's at 4-2. Like, they're not going to keep up with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but I think Cleveland can still get to 8-8 or 9-7. And as much as the Bills have hit a hiccup, they're better than the Dolphins, in my opinion. I think they'll hold on to the division. So it's got to be a wild card. And I think there's just too much depth in the AFC. So I'm going to say 30%.
Well, you can't count out the Pats, right? I know they're
right,
2-3,
exactly.
But
yep.
I'll price is right you, 29%.
Nice.
Whoa.
I pulled the same move on the Mikheyev thing. It's you got to eat. You got to eat on this show, Jonas. You got to get after
but
it.
But I
man.
Do think Miami's good.
They're like good.
They're
they
just
talent.
Solid.
Mm-hmm. They're good. But Tua, I mean, you're taking a gamble. He's never started in the NFL.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Joe Thornton will start and play multiple games on left wing this season.
Start
like
and play multiple games. So more than two. Two or more games for Jumbo on the wing.
I'll go 60. High. I think it's going to happen.
I would push him to the wing.
I think it makes sense. And I guess it just depends where you're using him. Like, are you going to use him just on a third line at left wing or play him the odd time like I kind of think would be interesting with Tavares? But I think it's high.
Yeah, I'll be high on this. I'm 81%.
Woo.
Yeah.
Well,
I think he'd be better suited on the wing.
Yeah.
Like, I just... You know, he's going to win draws, but I would push him to the wing just based on where his skating is at. And I know his skating's never been really an issue for him because he plays like that. But he also he's playing on a different team now. Like, Toronto wants pace. They want to, you know, get going in the neutral zone and stuff. The winger is an easier place to play than center.
Well, when he played with Pavelski, they kind of split the duties, right?
Yeah.
Like it was, I think Pavelski more or less played up the middle of the ice, but if the draw was on the left side, Thornton would take it. If it was on the right side, Pavelski would take it. I could see something like that, although Matthews and Tavares both shoot left. So I don't know who would have the advantage over taking the draws, and Tavares is pretty good at taking draws as well.
Right.
But, yeah, I could see it too. I think Sheldon Keefe is going to throw a lot of things at the wall. I think he's got a lot of different options. He's got a lot of different guys that have the capability of playing up the middle of the ice as well. So if we're just talking multiple games, I'm going to say 100%.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll say 100%. I mean, even if it's 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
Like, just to give it a shot, that doesn't mean – I don't think it's going to be permanent. I think he will likely play up the middle of the ice for the majority of the season. But multiple games, yeah,
yeah.
I could see it for sure.
Yeah.
Even with all the dysfunction and Mike McCarthy looking like Peter Horacek, the Dallas Cowboys will win the NFC East this season. Mike McCarthy's got a Scrabble face I've never seen before, and I've seen them all, folks.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, even with a mask on, he's got a Scrabble face, which is tough, you know. But he looks confused, a little bit out to lunch. It's not good. It's not good. Yeah, Jerry thinks they're still going to win the division, which they're still technically leading right now at 2-4.
Yeah, I'm high on this because it's such a junk division.
Mm-hmm.
78%.
If they could actually,
yeah, I'm pretty high on it.
Okay, I like it.
Like, who's going to overtake them?
Well, Philly could still. I still
That's
think Philly
think
is the
win.
One, right?
Yeah, I think Philly's going to win the division.
And how confident are you in Andy Dalton?
Well, I'm not overly confident.
I think
Carson
you like
Wentz.
The Red Rocket or Red Rifle.
Is that what they call them in Cincinnati, the Red Rifle?
Yeah, good nickname, eh?
Yeah, it's not bad. Anyone with red hair, they've got to have it. It's Red Rocket, Red Rifle,
yeah.
You know, Red Dragon.
Like, what did you call it? The Red Rocket?
Red Rocket was Matt Bonner when he was here because he got spotted on like a streetcar once. And it's like, oh, well, now he's the Red Rocket. Yeah, I think it's between them and Philly. Washington, I don't think, is going to be there. The Giants are just, they've been so bad for so long, and you know, Barkley and the injuries that they've been dealing with to begin with. I'm going to say 50. I'm going to say 49% because I think it's a coin toss between Dallas and Philly, and I think Philly's. I would give it to Philly, but just by a small percentage, 49%.
All right, I think I'm 60.
At least one of Jonathan Tays, Patrick Kane, or Duncan Keith will be traded by the Blackhawks by the beginning of the 2021-22 season. If I'm all three of them, I tell Stan Bowman to shove it up his ass and I'm out.
Interesting.
Harsh.
Yeah, that is harsh. And I don't know, the censoring, it was censored earlier and now that one slid. I don't know what's going on there. But one of them gone. So this will be the final season for all three of Keith, Kane, and Taze. But one of them, at least one, is out for the beginning of next season, the season after the one coming up. Hmm.
I'm lower on this. I could see Keith just based on the money out the door. Like his cap hit, I think, is 5.5, but it's actually like $2 million of real money. So, but where would he go on that scenario? I'm low on this. I'm 28%, but I think one of them might say, give me the check, please, and I'm out.
Yeah, I was going to say 30. And I think the problem is, like, you look at those contracts for Kane and Taves. 10.5? Like, I can see some team that's close look at one of those guys and be like, yeah.
Oh, but Patrick Kane's still worth 10.5 a year.
Yeah.
All day. All day he's worth 10.
But how many teams are adding that?
Can put it that, yeah.
Yeah, that's an issue. I mean, I look at his hometown team, and they just handed Hall $8 million. You know, could Kane at 10.5? But he's got a full no movement, full no trade. Does he want to go to Buffalo? You know, what would the trade look like? What's the mark? I don't know. I mean, these are all different angles that have to come into play. And I'm pretty sure all three of them have full no trade, full no move. So they would control everything.
The two do for sure. Keith is a modified, I believe. I was reading it yesterday.
Okay.
But
Keith,
yeah.
I could see flip because, you know, shorter term, smaller cap hit, pedigree can still skate.
That's the thing. Remember, we were talking about it in the 4 o'clock hour. Like, I think it doesn't matter. Like, if you could still skate in the league, I think you could still be productive.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I keep coming back to.
So I'm going to go pretty high on this.
Ooh.
Because I think Chicago's made it clear. Like, you know, the ownership and Bowman and company and Colleton's there. Like, Quinville was the beginning of we're going in a different direction. And it does, like, what happened in 2009, 2010 doesn't matter to us anymore. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Chicago would prefer to move them. Like, they know they it's tough because of the cap and the flat cap and the no movements and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to say 80%.
Wow.
Yeah, 80%. I wouldn't be – like, especially if it really gets ugly. Like, that tandem is so bad. Like, if they're going to be one of the worst five or six teams in the league for the next 2 or 3 years, and I don't know if they will be. Like, they were not going to make the playoffs this year, but they got in based on the return to play.
Right.
And they're a very young team anyway. But if they're going to even take another step back, if you're Jonathan Taves, Kane, like you've given everything to that team, but do you just want to ride it out? I don't know if they do. I mean, every player is different, and it'd be one thing if it was one guy who was like, I'm going through it. But if you're dealing with all three, all you need is one of them for this, Jerry's to be like, I'm good with trying something new.
Right.
You know, they've all been there their whole careers. We'll save the rest for Jerry's After Dark. Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. So hopefully we pass Jerry's test, and he will continue to join us. But we'll see. I guess we'll find out next Wednesday. Yeah. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, in about 20 minutes. More on the NFL, more on Game 2 of the World Series tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in about 10-15 minutes. Game 2 of the World Series tonight. Not literally a must-win, but it kind of feels like it for Tampa, doesn't it? Against this Dodger team. Like, you give them that taste of the World Series, give them, you know, spot them a 2-0 lead. I don't see you fighting back on that lineup and that staff. Well, like, Snell's got to go off tonight.
Yeah, Kershaw, I feel like we owe him some love.
Yeah, he was good last night. Like, you called it, Hayes.
8 Ks. Like, when he gave up that bomb by Kiermaier, I'm like, here we go. Like, get him out. Get him out. Don't let this happen. And he got out of the inning clean, and I think he went 6 last night. He pitched well, really well.
Well, didn't you feel that way in the first? Like, the way it started, I was like, oh, no, not again. And then and Smoltz was right in the broadcast. He said, like, if he gets out of this, he's going to cruise, and he cruised.
Yeah, well, Glasnow was cruising too, man.
Yeah.
Like they were both just going back and forth, and then Bellinger takes him deep, and then Kiermaier comes back in the top of the fifth, I believe it was, and takes Kershaw deep, and I'm like, okay, which one's going to hold on for dear life? And it was Kershaw, and the bats came alive for the Dodgers, and the rest is history. They ran off an 8-3 win last night, and game two goes tonight. So, you know, Snell is the ace of the staff, and I don't think he's throwing 112 pitches tonight. That should have been a Jerry's.
Yeah.
Does Blake Snell even come close to 100 pitches tonight?
Yeah.
And I doubt it. Unless he's clean, like unless he's just cruising. But if he's in any trouble, you've got to get him out. You have to. You got to go to the bullpen. That's what they have better than anyone else in baseball.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, we'll see what Cash and company have in store tonight. So Jerry's After Dark coming up, Darren Dreger coming up, and there's a lot more. Jonas Siegel from The Athletic in here with Jamie Noodles McLennan. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.